You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Most people see businesses the way a shopper sees a storefront. Open, closed. Busy, quiet. But some people are given a different kind of sight. They don't see a shop, they see cash flow. They don't see an invoice, they see discipline or disaster. They don't see a company registered on paper. What they see is its future or its funeral. Because this is the truth nobody likes to admit. Most businesses do not die of competition. They die of confusion in the numbers. They die because profits was imagined but never measured. Because money moved but direction didn't. And for 16 years, tonight's guest has walked into businesses at both ends of the spectrum. Some on the brink of brilliance, others hanging on by faith and a WhatsApp message from a creditor. He has seen the books that lie, the numbers that seduce, and the decisions that quietly destroy empires before they make headlines. He is the man business owners call too late or rarely early enough. Founder of Donga and Associates, a firm specializing in accounting, audit, tax, and advisory, serving small to medium enterprises across multiple sectors. Tonight, we are in conversation with the man who has watched money tell the truth when people didn't want to hear it. Simba Donga, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Mpumi. It's an absolute honor and a pleasure to be on your show.
Lovely, thank lovely so- to have you. So before Donga and Associates was a firm, before you were the accountant, who were you when you first realized, I understand money differently from most people?
Okay, interesting question. Maybe just to give a brief background.
I studied
sciences actually at Solusi Adventist High School.
And
I passed them with flying colors, only to be swayed by my father, who was a chartered accountant at the time.
Why does it seem all chartered accountant fathers do that?
Oh, well, I don't think I'll take that route. Even if I wanted, I think I'm on a failing journey.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So then he then convinced me then to say the program you want to do will be 6 years in varsity. Mm. And only after that will you then be able to specialize. But if you take accounting, 3 years you're done, 4 years you're doing your honors, then into your master's, and whoop, you are flying. And the whole catch was you will be earning your money.
Yeah.
Then I thought, money. So I effectively started accounting at varsity.
What? How was that even allowed?
It's really been a journey of learning to love the field and the industry through the years, and I don't regret it one bit.
Interesting. And there was never a time where you were just like, maybe medicine.
Well, that was the initial intention.
Yes. So when you were studying, were you not like, this man who doesn't know the struggles of today?
Yeah, especially when it got to your business statistics and all that. And then you'd think, hey, I wish I'd done accounting in high school. Yeah. But anyway, be that as it may, as I've said, here we are today.
Yeah. 16 years in the industry. What don't people understand about the emotional weight of handling other people's livelihoods?
Well, it's an interesting balancing act, because I think the most important part is to understand your clients, even at a personal level.
Okay.
because whatever the client is going through at their personal, in their personal space, has an effect on how they run the business, the decisions they make in their business, and also how they relate to you as their accountant, as their auditor, as their tax man, as their tax advisor. It gets to a stage where I remember earlier on in the days of the business, one grumpy customer, one grumpy client in a meeting. It was a heated meeting because I was reading the Riot Act to them and telling them to toe the line. And they told me, this is my business, this is my money. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, you hired me to run that. So it's really a balancing act to understand the needs of each client. And with time, then you become a master at it.
Yeah. And with that, has there ever been a business that broke your heart to audit?
Well, there have been.
Oh, no.
There have been quite a few.
Yeah.
There have been quite a few. And the reasons of the heartbreak are on two wide spectrums. Mm. One, out of clear and pure mismanagement and ignorance. Mm. And the other, out of corrupt employees really dragging down. And you really see the entrepreneur, the owner of the business, is really trying their best. Mm. But when you go through the audit, then you realize, they didn't have their finger on the pulse, and things fell through the cracks.
Ah, oh, man. And in your business, or in your experience rather, what kills most businesses first? Is it lack of money or lack of money management?
I think I'd say in 60 to 70% of the business that I've seen die, it's lack of money management.
Mm.
And through lack of money management, then you will find a business that runs, for the first 5 years, starts sliding into credit, starts operating on a bank overdraft, and they don't get out of that situation. They keep going deeper and deeper into that. And then when you look back at those 5 years, then you realize the funds were not really managed properly.
Mm.
And you'll also realize that in most of the businesses that we deal with, we work with small to medium scale enterprises. Mm. And it's difficult for those businesses to really draw a line between what is owned by the business and what is owned by the owner. Yeah. So when I see a big bank account in the business, a big number in the business account, it's my money.
Mm.
But in the bigger scheme of things, it's not my money.
Yeah.
It's the business. Yeah.
Oh, man. And with that, I'm imagining that is the biggest downfall of a lot of entrepreneurs. But is there a dangerous lie that entrepreneurs tell themselves about their finances?
About their personal finances or their business finances?
Either way.
I think that my previous statement heavily hinges on that, where the understanding of what is owned by the business and what is owned by them as the business owner is really misunderstood in most of the cases.
And that's
the biggest doubt.
When you think about it, well, you don't have to think about it because this is what you do every day. Is the way people manage their own personal finances applicable in managing business finances? And perhaps this is where I was trying to go with that question. Do you find owners who say, yeah, I know how to manage my own finances, and so it should be easy to manage the business finances? Or is it a different ball game altogether?
Well, it's a different ball game altogether, but I think the principles that lie therein fit in hand and glove. Almost fit in hand and glove. And it takes a lot of personal fiscal discipline. Because if you as an individual cannot manage your personal finances, if you see a big bank balance in your account, then you go and spend recklessly and you don't buy as you need, but you buy as you want. That will most likely translate into how you run the affairs in your business. And that has become one of our major advisory roles at Donga and Associates, where we have partnered with the Department of Trade and Industry in really helping small to medium black enterprises and giving them trainings on things like your financial management, putting internal goals in businesses and the likes.
Sure. Talk to me about the moment you walk into a business and you just know this one is already in trouble. And I'm asking this question not to get e scoop about people's businesses, but to awaken entrepreneurs who are really trying to build something, who aren't just trying to have a side hustle or a hobby, but are really trying to build something worth building. So what are the things that they need to look out for that would put them in trouble if they don't sort out?
Well, I think everything starts with the day-to-day running of their financial side of the business. Because most entrepreneurs, they concentrate in their master trade, and then they forget to either get somebody qualified to look at their financial side of things, or they just let it fall through the cracks until either they need funding or the taxman walks through the door. So a day-to-day record then translates to a monthly record and a picture of where exactly the business lies, because inflows and outflows of cash don't necessarily mean the business is running well. Then at the end of the year, when the entrepreneur opens their eyes, when the financial is being presented to them, then they are shocked. We've run at a loss, but we're seeing coming in and millions going out. So that daily recording of transactions and a frequent review of how they are performing, and not leave it to medium to long-term reporting, is vital and key to the success of any business. If there are any challenges or any problems, then they can be nipped in the bud in good time.
I'm so glad you went there because my next question was literally about those differences, right? The difference between a business that makes money and one that is financially healthy. So if you can just help us with that distinction, it would be great.
Right. Well, there are certain different ways and formulas to really weighing or weighting a business to see if this business is really financially wealthy, or they are simply just moving cash in and out. And basically, that's part of what we do, especially when we get to the accounting side of the business, where we don't just come up with a financial report and hand it to the client. We look at it, we scrutinize it, we look at the liquidity of the business, and really give advice on how the business can be brought back into line and operate profitably, because I've seen that in most cases, cash in the bank doesn't necessarily mean a successful business.
Yeah. People say once I grow, I'll hire an accountant. Once we make some sort of a 100,000 or whatever, we'll hire an accountant. And from where you sit, how many businesses die waiting for one day? And while you answer that, when is the right time to hire an accountant?
Not being biased, I would say hire an accountant from day one, for the first transaction. They set up everything before you get going.
How am I gonna pay you?
It takes us back to planning. When we plan to open a business, when we do forecasting on how the business will run, when we look for startup capital, in most cases, people do not factor that cost in. And most businesses that fail are those that leave out that planning stage, because they are masters at their trade, but they're not masters at handling the financial side of things.
Yes.
The advice that comes along with that. So if I was to advise anyone, I would say when you are looking at a startup business, also look at getting that accounting help right from the word go. Just as much as you need the legal help from the get go, those two will make sure your business is cushioned, and then you can, whether you are a carpenter, whether you're a plumber, then you can concentrate on what your trade is and leave the rest to a professional.
Oh, that's such sage counsel. Such sage counsel. And what is the most neglected discipline in business today? Is it accounting or accountability?
Sadly, I would say it's both.
Oof.
Sadly, I would say it's both. Reason being, the easiest one is accountability, where you'll find in the industry out there, everyone is ready to point a finger. They don't take accountability for their actions. They don't take accountability for the effect of their actions on how the business has turned. Well, it's all well and good when people want a pat on the back when the business has reported good financial results. But in this kind of economy that we are operating in, very few businesses are posting those excellent results. When the results are not as good, who takes accountability for that?
Yeah. Ah, oh, I hear you. Tax. I need us to talk about tax. Is SARS the villain, or are we just allergic to order?
I think the latter is true.
It's SARS. It has got to be SARS. Oh my. Okay.
Well, I always say, when it comes to tax, most businesses that I have seen, not necessarily those that I deal with, because those that I deal with, I try and make sure that they toe the line when it comes to tax. But most businesses out there, I always refer to them as having the giraffe syndrome.
Okay.
They bring their head down under where they are. Time and again, they just pop their head up to look around and see what's going on. Yes. If SARS is quiet, they come back, they hide again.
Yes.
Until the taxman knocks at the doors. And trust me, there's times when I've received calls at 2 a.m. When SARS has effected a third-party appointment, somebody's eagerly waiting for a payment. That payment hits the bank account. The bank pays SARS. Simply because the entrepreneur has not done what they were expected to do.
Yeah.
So the taxman is not our enemy at all. I mean, even the Bible says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and God what belongs to God.
But does it really belong to Caesar? Where was Caesar when I was fugusing night and day? Ah, it's not fair. It's not fair. But I hear you. I hear you. When you look at the SME landscape, do you see it being characterized more by greed or courage?
Well, I think it's more, I wouldn't call it greed. But I would look at it from the perspective where there's an urge to amass a lot of wealth, and which is what pulls many people out of formal employment into entrepreneurship. And I don't think they really do enough research into what it takes to be an entrepreneur and what the challenges are, what the risks are. And most of them learn as they go along and they fall through the cracks. Yeah.
And what do you think is missing from that knowledge? If there were three top things that you believe would put a lot of employees to entrepreneurs in good stead if they knew and applied before they even took the leap, what would those three things be?
Well, I'd say, firstly, it takes a lot of entrepreneurship education, not only to people that are already in business, but if it can be started at a schooling level, so that when the children get out of school, when the students get out of school, I'm one who sadly believes not enough is being done, especially in the field of business studies, accounting, in terms of what the children need to know, because teaching them debits and credit, teaching them ledgers, doesn't necessarily go as far as giving them business perspectives and how businesses and the risks and what it takes to be an entrepreneur, which is why when most of them leave school, some only look at going to school, learning what they are learning, and just being employees for the rest of their lives. Yet if that other aspect of being an entrepreneur is really drilled into them as much, then it would widen their scope, widen their perspectives, and empower them that should they decide to get into business, their basics that would help them. And then also, secondly, like I alluded to earlier, I think the government has realized that loophole or that gap, which they're currently, to say we've got a lot of small to medium enterprises that are trying to run business, and most of them are struggling. Because they did not get the right training in that. So it's almost like playing catch up now to try and help those businesses to get back on track, give them a bit of financial literacy, a bit of entrepreneurship education, which would hopefully translate to their businesses running better and more efficiently.
And what are the things that entrepreneurs and small to medium enterprises need to prepare when they do hire an accountant or an accounting firm? What are the things they need to have on hand and ready for you guys?
Ooh, that's a good question, because in some instances, someone comes looking for an accountant, and when you ask for their financial records, they give you a box full of receipts, invoices, and statements. Well, that becomes a more costly exercise for the entrepreneur, unfortunately. But as we discussed earlier, and in the era of technology, where there's accounting software, accounting packages, bookkeeping packages, it would actually assist a lot of entrepreneurs if they could get those and just record their transactions on a daily basis. And if they want monthly reporting or half-yearly reporting, then it would be easier to just pull those reports from that system. And I know most of these software service providers even provide training for the entrepreneurs. So I think there's really not much of an excuse to say, I wouldn't know how to operate the software. Be that as it may, there are those that may not necessarily afford those packages, even just recording those expenses on an Excel spreadsheet makes the work of the accountant more easier and a delight, and it works out to be cheaper for the entrepreneur because our rates are on the hour.
Yeah. What kind of entrepreneur makes you smile before they even share their numbers?
Well, you know, at that first engagement meeting, it's very easy to tell if this is going to be a walk in the park or you will be trying to find your way in the dark. Just by asking them about their operations, what they do, how they keep their records, it then gives you a picture of what's in store for you. But I'm one who loves challenges. So if I find a house that's in order, I'm quick to look around and delegate that company to somebody.
Okay.
To say, care of this one.
Yeah. But if there are weeds and tears, you are there.
I'm there, and I love that experience of separating the wheat from the tares.
Oh, man. If you could whisper in the ear of every business owner tonight, what's one habit you would tell them to master immediately?
Well, it's unfortunate that you are restricting me to one.
Okay, you can give us more. I mean, you're the expert.
I would say passion and purpose will lead any business or any entrepreneur to success.
I think
a deep-seated passion for solving problems. And when you look at a business, you're actually solving a problem which the customer or the client has, and you are the solution to that. So if you have the passion and purpose to really solve those problems, then I think you're on the right path. But there's also resilience and grit. And one needs to have that ability to embrace failure.
Yeah.
And when they fail, they must look at that as a learning curve. And to persist despite setbacks, because there's no business. If you are to put the business performance on a graph, it will never be on a straight line.
Yeah.
So wait a dip. That needs to be taken as a learning curve. Then persistence will then push that business on an upward trajectory. And finally, I think a clear vision, a clear and compelling vision for the future. Because if you dwell a lot on today, then tomorrow suffers. If you are limping today, but you can see that with good recovery, in the next 5 steps, you can be brisk walking. In the next 10 steps, you can be running. Then I think that provides a future roadmap that will help one to overcome obstacles in the future.
You said the vision needs to be compelling. Who needs to be compelled by it?
It first needs to be compelling to the entrepreneur before anyone else, because if my brand or my product is not compelling to me, my vision is not compelling to me, and I'm maybe I'll get there, maybe not. Then I'm already sowing seeds of doubt. Then that vision will most likely suffer.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Sure. And I'm curious about what financial discipline gives someone that ambition can never. Please shed some light on that.
Well, I think Financial discipline, you compared it with?
Ambition.
Right. Financial discipline, I think, goes ahead of ambition. Maybe it's because of the field that I'm in. Somebody might actually turn on it. Ambition.
Maybe a coach. Maybe a business coach. You need to set goals. Be very ambitious.
mainly because I've worked and experienced many businesses where without the financial discipline, the ambition will definitely suffer. No matter how much zeal there is to make the business prosper, without that financial discipline, and financial discipline goes as far as not only spending wisely for the business, but they also refer to that as financial prudence, where one actually needs to decide, does the business really need this? If I go and buy 5 of these today and 5 next week after selling, will it help the business? Should I buy 10 now and wait and see what happens? I've got salaries coming end of the month. I've got SARS to pay on the 7th. So there's a lot of decisions that are involved there, and there's a lot of discipline that's required. Because as an entrepreneur, you also have your personal financial needs. And part of the financial discipline also has to do with weighing between your personal financial needs and those of the business. Hence we said there's that line that is clear, although some draw the line in the sand and the winds come and blow it, to say left is the business, right is my personal, financial needs.
Yeah. And, you know, I can't say you stumbled on this industry, because you were influenced into it, but it wasn't your first choice. And with that, I'm curious to find out, what has this industry taught you about people?
Well, like I alluded earlier to say, this industry has taught me that there's different people out there, people of different temperaments, people of different mindsets, people of different ambitions, different goals. And unfortunately, or fortunately in my field, I must deal with all those kind of different people and meet them at their point of need. I can meet somebody now who is of one temperament, and the next 2 hours, it's somebody totally different. So there are different people out there, different needs, and it doesn't only apply to my business. Any other entrepreneur will experience different clients and different customers. The biggest thing that needs to be mastered is how to deal with each one of them, make them feel special, and make them feel as if they are the only customer or client.
And when the ledgers and the books are shut, who are you?
Right, when the ledgers and the books are shut, I'm a 42-year-old man, happily married to Nobusiswa Donga. For the last, actually, next week Thursday will be 20 years.
Oh, okay.
And we have two handsome boys, Yolanda and Unati. Right.
20 years, so, that is longer than you've run the business. And I don't mean to pry. I mean, I don't mean to get into your business. But what have been some of the maybe complexities of venturing into entrepreneurship, but also the benefits of having a partner to see you through those tumultuous times? Because I know there have been plenty.
All right. There definitely has been plenty of those. And I think a bit of advice that I would give to entrepreneurs, especially regarding personal or family life, is time management is key. One is to clearly distinguish between work time and family time. And the temptation is always to prioritize the business as it's the one that puts food on the table.
Yes.
And in most cases, family time suffers. And to help with that, I think constant updates around the dinner table, they help the family to understand your struggles in the business and to also help you celebrate your successes. Unfortunately, there's a downside to entrepreneurship. I remember when I had the discussion with my wife, when I told her that I think my mind is made up, I'm resigning from work. Because I had spent a few years in a firm of accountants and I felt I had blinkers. I couldn't spread my wings and fly. If you're put in a tax division, you are stuck there. If you're put in an advisory role, you're stuck there. And she was in a panic to say, okay, should this business not work out, then we're all reliant on me. But God being God and being the always good God that he has been, he has seen us through the highs of the business and the lows of the business. And we are still looking to soar greater heights.
And what do those greater heights look like? What does success look like for you in 5 years?
Sorry, I missed that.
What do those greater heights look like for you when you think of a successful run in the next 5 years, Vision 2030? What does that look like?
Right. Medium to long term, we're looking at already we're starting, we now have a national footprint. So in the next 3 to 5 years, we're looking at spreading our wings into the SADC region. Of which some of those endeavors are already gaining momentum. So it might be less than 5 years that we start having a regional footprint. And who knows, if we are still on this side of the earth after those 5 years, we're looking at becoming an international brand.
I love that. And you know, I normally hear people say, if you forget everything about what we've just said, this is the one thing never to forget. And I think the one thing for you that I would love for you to give people is this, right? What is the difference between a hustler and a business owner that you can trust with millions? Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle to break through the hustler barrier and they keep hustling until Jesus comes and never grow these international brands of which you dream and aspire to. So what is that difference between a hustler and the business owner that you would trust with millions?
Right. I would look at a hustler as a high risk taker with no concrete or fixed plan in place on how this hustle, on where it's going, how it will turn out, and no plan in place to say, should this hustle almost hit rock bottom, how do I then make it fly again?
Yeah.
And then to a business owner, I think my parting shot would be, I think the management of any business requires the achievement of specific objectives in relation to, firstly, the economy, efficiency, and effectiveness. Those three combined, because in most cases you will find somebody has an idea, but they're not looking at ways of how to effectively efficiently implement that idea. How will the economy influence that idea? But because they have the money and the capability to start the business, they just get on with it. And above all, I would say any management of any business or an entrepreneur requires reliable financial reporting, which upholds ethics and above all, integrity.
Yeah. I've loved this conversation, you know, and I'm thinking somebody might be sitting there, business owner, might be sitting at home feeling a little bit uncomfortable. I think that was the point. Because comfort is the enemy of clarity. And we all know that clarity is the currency for any sustainable success. If you don't have clarity, forget about experiencing success of any kind. And I think you hopped on that even as you were speaking. Also, while I did say that that was a point to make people uncomfortable, I don't think you came here intending to scare anyone. In fact, it was to really save our future from our past habits, the habits of thinking that you, of knowing in principle that you and your organization are different entities and wanting to run away from that when there's debts involved, but when there's money, you want to be reckless. And we know that in the good and the bad, there has to be that separation of entity. And I love what you said as well about the fact that businesses that are not built on passion and purpose are not going to make it. But also, even with that passion and that purpose, you can't get sucked into it. You need precision. You need mastery. You need a structure. You need a system. And so if we're just going to pray for miracles and think we're going to hustle and wait for motivation, it's not going to come. Money is not going to respond to our dreams. It is definitely going to respond to our discipline. And that is what you emphasized as we had this conversation. And for that, I'm really grateful. I hope that entrepreneurs at home and aspiring business owners are going to sit with this, not only on a financial level, on what they need to do. And what it sounds like they need to do is get in touch with you. So I'm going to ask that you give us your details, but also just get their mind right. Get their mind right, plan, and step into something that has a chance of surviving because you gave it that fair chance. So where do people find you? How do they access your services? And then we'll call it a night.
All right. We are a company that is based in Johannesburg.
Yes.
We're at 9th floor Atrium Building. On 5th, that's in Sandton, Johannesburg.
Mm-hmm.
They can drop us an email at admin@dongaandassociates.co.za. That's admin@dongaandassociates.co.za. Or for a more personalized email, s.donga@dongaandassociates.co.za. For telephonic communication, they can reach us on +27 11 082 9816, alternatively cell phone +27 78 722 1536.
Awesome. Is this AND, or that's stylized AND?
It's AND.
Okay, fantastic. Fantastic. Yes. Thank you so much for your time and your expertise. Really lovely conversation.
Thank you so much, Mpumi. And thank you to your listeners. All the best in them becoming better and bigger entrepreneurs.
Yes. Thank you. Cheers.
Yes. Bye.
And with that, I am Nompumelelo Mbonani, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.